Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host, and I am excited to do a show for you today. Before we get into the news, I do have to say that I had one of the most unique emails sent to me last week. And in that email, or that email was from Dane Myers. I'm not going to tell you what was in the email, but Dane Myers, who is a musician from Florida, just an absolutely delightful gentleman, and I would highly encourage you to go to YouTube, search for Dane Myers Music, and check this guy out. He's really cool. I actually interviewed him this week, which will be on the show next week, because that's kind of how I had to schedule it out. But Dane and I had a wonderful, it started off as an interview, but it just turned into a conversation. I could have talked to him for hours, to be honest with you. Just a wonderful human being and a very talented one. So I'm going to put his information in the show notes. Go and check it out. And then next week, you're going to be twice as excited to hear the interview with Dane. All right. Having said that, let's jump into our news this week. A couple of quick hits here. The Lucid Air Dream Edition has an official range, and that is 520 miles, according to the EPA. Originally, Lucid was going to only produce 500 of the initial Dream Airs, but now, in honor of their 520-mile range achievement, they will be producing 520 of the initial deliveries of the $160,000 vehicle. So if you have $160,000 plus tax burning a hole in your wallet, go to lucidmotors.com/air/reserve and pick yourself up one or two if you have the time. The Cadillac Lyriq SUV EV debut edition sold out within 19 minutes. So that was just reservations, but still, pretty impressive, except we don't know what the threshold was, like how many reservations they were accepting. One dealer said it was only about 1,500 vehicles, but no other dealers are talking, so we don't know for sure. And I wasn't able to find a price on this particular model, the debut model, but Cadillac says the Lyriq base price is going to be around $60,000, so no official range at this time. Honestly, the Lyriq is kind of growing on me. I'm coming around to this vehicle. It does look cool, especially the inside. The inside looks very luxurious. Rivian has a new membership plan they're going to offer to their new customers, which all of their customers are new because they're just now getting the R1Ts out the door. Members of the plan will get complimentary access to Rivian's Adventure Network and Waypoint chargers. So those are Rivian chargers, not Electrify America, so I don't know how that's going to work out for them. Rivian will also match every mile members drive with energy from renewable sources like wind and solar. So it's kind of like a carbon payback or buyback thing. And I'm sure this is going to go in forms of like solar arrays on the factory and the headquarters and things like that. You also get unlimited 4G LTE. off-road side assistance. See what they did there with the off-road. And then you're also going to have an option, and it sounds like you're going to have to pay extra for this option, but they have an option that if you get stuck or you need a battery charge, that they'll send a recovery vehicle out to either pull you out or charge your battery. The United States is a very large country. Canada is a very large country. I don't know if Rivian can deploy enough rescue recovery units to adequately make this worth the money, whether it's the money that Rivian is spending on it or the money that a customer is spending to have this option. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be a very useful option. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't seem very useful. All new vehicles will also come with this membership for 12 months. But after that, there's no word on the price. If I had to guess, it's going to be somewhere between $300 and $500 a year. Here's some good news for Volkswagen. The ID4 earned the IIHS top safety pick. That's the Insurance Institute. So kudos to Volkswagen for that achievement. Audi is launching the Q4 e-tron, and the starting price is going to be somewhat reasonable for an Audi EV. It's going to be $36,400 after incentives, which is $44,995 with incentives. The vehicle will come with a 55 kilowatt hour battery pack, or you can upgrade to the 82 kilowatt hour battery pack. It'll charge from 5 to 80% in 38 minutes, which is a little slow. And it has 250 mile range, which isn't great, but the car itself looks amazing. And this is a starting point. It's not like if you were going to compare it to like a Model Y, then, you know, there's no comparing it to a Model Y because Model Y is better. However, this is a starting point for Audi. So let's give them some encouragement because we want more electric cars, and I'm sure these will get better over time. However, I don't know if I would buy the first version of the Audi Q4. Possibly I'd buy the third or fourth version because I do think Audi makes a really good car. Ford is partnering with J.B. Straubel's Redwood Materials battery recycling company. If you don't know who J.B. is, he was actually the CTO at Tesla, and then a few years ago he went ahead and left and founded Redwood Materials. And Redwood Materials basically takes all of the really expensive rare earth minerals and things that can be recycled out of the batteries, and then they put them in new batteries. And this kind of kills that narrative that some of your friends might say, I know my friends do, I have arguments with them all the time, that these batteries just end up in the landfills, because, I mean, that's just silliness. There's too much money in those batteries to just be sitting in a landfill wasted. Like, if they end up in a landfill, some company's going to find them, rescue them from the landfill, and recycle them, because the materials in there are very, very valuable. And, you know, these battery manufacturers need them. So somebody's going to recycle them. Anyway, Ford is investing $50 million into the company, and Redwood will help Ford eliminate lithium ion waste, and then they'll also reuse those battery materials. So it's good for both companies, obviously, and this creates a reliable supply chain for Ford, or another reliable supply chain for Ford. Speaking of Ford, the Mach-E is getting a recall in North America because the glass roof and windshield might fall off. Now, if you remember, Ford made fun of Tesla because Tesla had a very similar problem. Well, sometimes those things come back to bite you in the behind, and in this case, it did. When I read the initial news stories, the recall only encompassed about 5,000 vehicles, but right before I recorded the podcast, I see now that it's up to 38,000 vehicles. So it's a little more serious, but still, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Ford will fix it and get it all taken care of. A little Starlink news here. Elon is saying that Starlink's going to come out of beta for an official release, probably sometime in October. But then again, you know, these are Elon timelines, so we don't really know. It could be October 2022. But he thinks it's going to remove the beta tag and have an official release sometime in October. So hopefully that's true. The Tesla shareholders meeting, which I will cover on this show, is going to happen at Giga Texas in Austin on October 7th. Normally it happens at the Fremont factory. this seems like a last minute change, and the whole thing's going to be virtual. There's not going to be anybody allowed onto the Giga Texas property for this. Some people are theorizing, or really guessing, that Tesla is going to announce that the company is moving out of California and to Austin, and there'll be a new Tesla HQ either on the site of where the Giga truck or Giga factory is going to be built or near it somewhere. I'm hoping they just show off the new changes to the Cybertruck. I don't need them to say that they're going to release it any sooner, although I'd like that. I don't need them to do that, but I would kind of like to know what the final version of the truck looks like and kind of get some, you know, more firm specs on that vehicle. But either way, it'd be cool, and I will cover it, and we will talk about it. Tesla has killed the referral program, which is a real bummer. You know what? I shouldn't say kill, because it's not dead yet. It's almost dead, or nearly dead, but it's not dead yet. Someone can use your referral code for a solar roof. So if someone uses your code for a $100,000 plus roof, then you get $500. Seems like a really fair trade for the referral code. A few months ago, it sounded like Tesla was going to revamp the whole referral program and make it more difficult for people who, like influencers — I'm not an influencer, but influencers — to amass an obscene amount of Tesla Roadsters. The rumored program was going to be that you kind of had to be in the same proximity, if not next to one another, and you had to enter the code or send a code from the one Tesla app to the other Tesla app. I can't remember exactly how the whole thing works, but it was going to be significantly more difficult for someone to use a referral code. Now, Tesla has modified the referral program several times since I've been doing this podcast, and there's been rumors of it going away, and it always comes back in one form or another. So who knows? Maybe Tesla is limiting it, and then they're going to bring it back in yet another form. But we'll keep an eye on it for sure. My friend Allison Sheridan recommended this next story. iccars.com is reporting that the Tesla Model 3 is the fastest selling used car for the third month in a row. Now, the average selling price for a Model 3 right now is $47,325, and it sells in an impressive 16.9 days on average, which is really good. All of the other used cars on the list sold in somewhere in the 20 and sometimes 30 day range. So if you have a Model 3 and you sell it, it's going to go very quickly. The Model X and the Model S are number 9 and 10 on the list, respectively, with an average days to sell of 24.1 for the Model X, and that's selling at an average of $78,224, and 25 days for the Model S, which is around $66,095 on average, which is still a very impressive number. And the reason given for this robust used car market, and everybody's — we can all say it together — what's the reason? Chip shortages. Yeah. And Elon, to that point, was at a tech event in Italy this week, and he says that the chip shortages will end sometime next year. So we're going to be all caught up sometime next year. To which I say, maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's a crazy world. Who knows? Moving on. Speaking of chips, though, it sounds like Tesla Hardware 4 will be built by Samsung, according to the Korea Economic Daily. Hardware 4.0 will release with Cybertruck, or at least that's what we think it will release with. Elon said it last week, but with the delay of Cybertruck, maybe they'll put it in the Model Y or Model 3 before that. Who knows? If it is released with the Cybertruck, then we're looking at late 2022, early 2023 for the new Hardware 4 computer to be released. And honestly, like, if Tesla put out a Model Y with Hardware 4 and Cybertruck was delayed again, I might go with the Model Y or the Model 3 at this point. I don't want to buy anything right now because I don't want Hardware 3. I would prefer to have Hardware 4 if I'm going to spend the money. But I just want the Cybertruck. Let's release the Cybertruck already. All right. The 4680 battery factory at Giga Berlin is coming along nicely. Elon said last November that the Gigafactory in Berlin would produce at least 100 gigawatt hours per year, possibly more, and that would make it the largest battery cell plant in the world. And since we're talking about factories and all that other cool stuff, Tesla has broken ground on a new factory to produce Megapacks in Lathrop, California. Now, the Megapacks are these large, huge stationary battery packs that Tesla is going to be making. So to recap, we have the Powerwall, which is residential. We have the Power Pack, which can go probably industrial or into some utility storage system. And then you have the Megapack. And the Megapack, according to Tesla, is going to be 60% more energy dense than the Power Pack. So that's definitely going into some peaker plant style replacement. Like a peaker plant is this big natural gas plant that when the energy consumption peaks, the peaker plant will kick on and help balance out the grid. So these Megapacks could be used in place of these peaker plants, or at least a first line defense before the peaker plants kick on to help balance the grid and eliminate brownouts or blackouts. The National Transportation Safety Board thinks that Tesla's branding of full self-driving and autopilot are misleading and irresponsible. Now, Jennifer Homendy, hopefully I'm saying her name right, sorry if I'm not, is the new head of the National Transportation Safety Board, and she's calling on Tesla to address basic safety issues before expanding autonomous driving to city streets. Now, in the past, I've defended Tesla's naming conventions, and this is largely because of like cell phone companies. Cell phone companies will say that they have something, like let's say 5G is the latest hotness and it's the most exciting thing. Well, 5G as a spec isn't out yet. Let's just pretend it's 3 years ago. Well, cell phone companies will say we have 5G plus or 4G plus or whatever, and it's 5G speeds. Well, they really don't have anything because they don't meet any standard. They're just using marketing terms. And that's kind of what how I thought about this whole thing with Tesla and autopilot and full self-driving. But it's becoming such a distraction at this point that I think Tesla just needs to give up and rebrand. And then once they've rebranded, they need to say, okay, these are the features, just like Hamid was saying a couple of weeks ago, these are the features that we are going to give you. This is what you're buying. Over time, we will upgrade these features for you, but you are buying these features today. And I don't think anybody would be mad about that. We're already on hardware 4 and we haven't hit real self-driving. Right now, we're at an advanced level 2 driving. And let me be honest, most people that I know who have full self-driving, who have paid that extra money or just used autopilot, are thrilled with what they have. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But what is going to be a big deal is Tesla's going to have to swallow their pride, bite the bullet, and change their messaging on this and their branding. So here's how I would do this. I would start with all of the people who have paid for the service because they're not going to get full self-driving, or it's unlikely that they're going to get full self-driving at this point. And they've paid, between $7,000 and $10,000 for this service. Tesla's got to give them a credit, a coupon for the next time they buy a Tesla. They're going to pay a ridiculously low price for whatever version of autonomy assistance driving they have when they buy their new car. So that way, Tesla isn't losing any money or shelling any money out, and it encourages the owners to continue buying a Tesla the next time. So that's the first step. You got to take care of the current owners. However you do that is up to Tesla, but you got to take care of them. You can't leave them out. The next step is to sell the driver assist feature for about $4,000, because right now, Tesla is about a 3% take rate on full self-driving. That means only 3% of people who buy a Tesla are paying that $10,000. I think that shows hands down that is too much money for that service, and they need to lower that to get that take rate higher. And when they sell the service, they need to sell the service for what is available at the time. They can continue to make it better like they're doing, but they need to say, here's what you're buying. You're not buying something in the future. We're not promising you anything for the future. You're buying this. And if we make the service better, we're going to include you. And I think that's kind of a big deal. They're already doing that now anyway, but they're promising you something that you may never see in your current vehicle as we talk today. And I think that Tesla's full FSD and autopilot, I think they are great products. And I'm proud of the products. I think they just need to rebrand and then just let that go. Because that's one of the biggest distractions in the media right now that they're pointing to is full self-driving is not full self-driving. And companies, or not companies, media outlets and naysayers are going to hammer on that as long as it's not full self-driving and as long as Teslas are making silly little mistakes. Again, I think the service is great. I'm not bashing the service. I'm just saying we need to change our message and change our approach. When I say our, obviously I'm not a part of Tesla, but whatever. So I have a little analogy for you, or a little story, I guess. And you tell me if you would be willing to do this. So this is kind of a Wimpy from Popeye, if you know who that is, in reverse. Wimpy was like, I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. So we're going to reverse that, right? So let's say you go into a restaurant and you buy a burger for $10. When you walk out of the restaurant, you only take the buns with you. And the restaurant's like, hey, we're going to send you the rest of the burger later. So you walk out, you got the buns, you're happy, they're nice, they're fluffy, you can't wait to eat this burger. 2 months later, the restaurant sends you some lettuce and says, hey, you're going to get the tomato in 2 weeks, but right now all we can deliver you is the lettuce. So a month and a half after that, you get the tomato. And as a bonus, you get half of an onion. You don't get all the onion, but you get half of the onion. And you're like, oh, sweet, this burger's coming together. I'm going to be able to enjoy this burger soon. And then 3 weeks after that, you get the other half of the onion. But the founder of the company for this restaurant tweets that the burger patty is almost done, but it's going to have to wait just a little bit because there's a safety issue. So now you're into this about 8 months and you haven't even eaten your burger yet. And now what happens in those 8 months that you've been waiting for your burger, the restaurant comes out with a new burger and it looks so much better. It looks so much more delicious. It's an improved burger. It's multi-grain with the poppy seeds on top. So you go back into the restaurant. You throw out your old burger because, you know, it's 8 months. That burger is no good anymore anyway. So you walk into the restaurant, you order your new burger, and you walk out with a multi-grain bun. And that's all you get. You don't even get the toppings on top. You don't get the poppy seeds on top. This is kind of how this whole thing's going. It sounds ridiculous. But that's what's happening with Tesla and how they're marketing and selling their driver assist systems. Now, to be clear, when I get my Cybertruck, I'm totally paying that $7,000 for that bun. But I'm doing that knowing full well what I'm getting. And deep somewhere in my heart, there might be some animosity towards Tesla or the restaurant in this case. But I go back to my earlier statement is that I think this is good technology. Tesla just needs to market it as what it is, not what it could be or what they're promising. They need to market it as these are the services we're selling you today. And you can even say we continue to make it better, but you can't market it on a promise that may never happen. While we're on the topic of autopilot, autopilot can now see emergency lights at night, which is a start. So here is the little update from Tesla. If Model 3/Model Y detects lights from an emergency vehicle when using auto steer at night on a high speed road, the driving speed is automatically reduced and the touchscreen displays a message informing you of the slowdown. You will also hear a chime and see a reminder to keep your hands on the wheel. When the light detections pass by or cease to appear, autopilot resumes your cruising speed. Alternatively, you may tap on the accelerator to resume your cruising speed. So this is awesome. I say, what about daytime? Now, I mentioned Allison before, and I'm going to mention her in a little bit here as well. Allison and I had a whole conversation about this on Chit Chat Across the Pond. Tom Cooper and I had a chat about this last week. I would encourage you to go back if you haven't and listen to both of those conversations if you want to get a really good understanding of what's going on here. Ooh, let's talk about the much anticipated Request FSD beta button. It's now available. So once you push it and you agree to the terms and conditions, you'll be entered into a queue. And while you're waiting for your beta invite from Tesla, there's like a little safety score system that you can view in your app to determine how safe of a driver you are. We talked last week how Tesla is going to make you drive for 7 days before they allow you to enter into the beta. They want to ensure that only safe drivers get into the beta, to which somebody on Twitter said, well, if Tesla thinks full self-driving is so safe, why wouldn't they want the less safe drivers to be using the safest method of driving that they could be? But anyway, having said that, it was a really funny comment. So this system isn't unlike what's in your insurance company or what some insurance companies are trying to do. Like you download an app or using a device in your OBD2 port to monitor how you drive. And in Tesla's case, it monitors forward collision warnings. How many did you get per 1,000 miles? How many hard stops? How many times did you swerve? Aggressive turning? Are you following someone at an unsafe distance? That kind of thing. Forced autopilot disengagement. And then Tesla gives you a little score rated 0 to 100. And this is all done, the scoring and stuff is all done in your Tesla app. Now, I don't have a Tesla, so I have to rely on Brad and Sierra to get my information. And I waited until now to record this episode in hopes that Brad and Sierra would have gotten the update and I could get their feedback. They did get the request button and they pushed it. And unfortunately, that's it. They haven't gotten anything else. They haven't even got the little safety score on their app. So I love them and I'm very proud of both of them, but they suck. They are not helping me out in any way, shape, or form. Brad and Sarah, you suck. So just so you know. All right. I said I was going to mention Allison one more time, and here it is. She passed along this story to me. Oak Ridge Laboratory is run by the Department of Energy. And if you've never heard of Oak Ridge Laboratory, well, it's got a pretty interesting start. It's where the Manhattan Project started in World War II. But now they're a sanctuary for scientists and engineering, and they're focusing their big brains to help the world be a better place instead of, you know, we want it to be a better place. Anyway, Oak Ridge National Laboratory and a company called HEVO are working on a project to allow EV wireless charging while you're driving at highway speeds, which is really cool. Oak Ridge National Laboratory came up with this technology, and HEVO is actually going to develop it even further with the help of ONRL, and they're going to commercialize it, basically. So this is a polyphase electromagnet coil that can deliver 1.5 megawatts per square meter. This system is more compact because it eliminates one of the power conversion stages. And I believe that it does this on the part that's connected to the car. So there's a little part, and I was a little confused on this, but there's a little part, little medium pizza box sized device that sits on the bottom of the car. And that's what allows the vehicle to get charged as it's driving over the road. Now, I am not an expert when it comes to wireless charging. So that's about as far as I'm going to go with that. And one of the things I was thinking of while I was reading this story is how efficient is this? Because in firefighting, as water travels through hoses and fittings and things like that, it loses some of its, it's called friction loss. It loses some of its momentum. And let's just say you have to pump something at 100 PSI to get 100 gallons of water out a minute. Maybe you have to pump it now at 115 or 120 to get 100 because to overcome that friction loss. Now, I'm vastly oversimplifying friction loss, and I'm on a ladder and I don't even deal with friction loss on a ladder, really. But I'm vastly oversimplifying how friction loss works. But I'm assuming in electricity, we have a similar concept, right? So let's just pretend if you have 100 kilowatts traveling through the dirt on this system, how much energy is lost trying to get that that signal from the dirt where this is buried in to the asphalt, and then the asphalt to the air, and then through the air to the car, obviously. So while I was reading this, I was like, yeah, but how efficient? Well, Oak Ridge, actually, they answered this question in the article. It can charge, or it has the capability of charging up to 300 kilowatts while you're driving at highway speeds, which is incredible. And it's 90 to 96.5% efficient. And that is, in my mind, extremely efficient. If you're an electrical engineer, tell me if it's not. But I'm really excited about this technology. Now, I've probably misrepresented some things in this story because I'm not an electrical engineer, and there's some things that I just don't understand, to be honest with you. But what does it mean for us? Like, if this works out, what does it mean for us as EV enthusiasts and EV owners? What can this technology do for us? Well, at the best, right, it's going to charge your car while you drive it. And that's either going to, it's either going to charge it a lot, or it's going to charge it a little bit, depending on how efficient it is in reality. Or it might be a net zero. So when you get on that 20 mile stretch of highway, maybe you don't lose any miles or any range, and you don't gain any range. So it's just a net zero. Or maybe it's a little weaker in some places and you lose, you know, less. So you're not gaining any range while you're driving, but you're not losing range as quickly as you would have if there wasn't there. And then the obvious, you know, final two things are, it's going to barely make a difference, or it's not going to make a difference at all, and it's just a waste of money and time. This week, or last week now that you're hearing this, Daily Tech News Show did a similar story about a study that's being done in Michigan. And some of the hosts were talking about, well, what's more efficient? Is it more efficient for us to be putting this technology in the roads and tearing up the roads? Or is it more efficient to do charging stations? And honestly, I think we need to do both, to be quite frank with you. One of the reasons they were giving was to relieve range anxiety. And I honestly don't think at this point any current EV owner has range anxiety, unless you have a range of like 100 miles. Like, you have one of the early Leafs, totally understand you might have range anxiety. But if you own a modern electric vehicle, you know what that vehicle can do, and you know where you need to go and where you need to stop at this point. And there's enough apps and technology in your vehicle to get you to that next charging point that I don't think range anxiety is as big of a deal as people thought it was. Maybe if you don't own a vehicle, maybe this gives you some reassurance to adopt and purchase an electric vehicle. But in general, I think people who have EVs are like, yeah, I already know what my car can do. They just don't need that extra incentive. However, it is nice for sure. All right, everybody, that is our news section of the show. Stay tuned, because James is going to give us some nice tips on some EV accessories you may or may not know about. Also, James hosts a show called True North EVs. And this week, he sat down with Harvey and Kent, and they were going to do a long-distance drive from Newfoundland, Canada, St. George, all the way to Vancouver, BC, in an Audi e-tron. So that's pretty cool. And they did this in honor of Harvey's wife, Mary Ann, who passed away of cancer in 2018, unfortunately. I'll put a link to James's episode in the show notes, so it's easy to get to if you want to check it out. And I highly encourage you to check it out, because it was a good interview. And I have a media pick for you. I haven't done a media pick in a while. Sword of the Gods by Bruce R. Cordell. If you like sci-fi, the story is great. The characters are great. I don't want to give a whole lot of... any sort of spoilers, but you learn as the main character learns. That's where I'll leave it. It's a good book. Take a look at it. Sword of the Gods. And I'll put that in the show notes as well, an Amazon link. And then I haven't mentioned this in a while, but I have a Patreon. If you want to become a Patreon, go to patreon.com/kilowatt and take a look at what we're doing. If you become a patron just for a dollar, you don't get ads. So if you don't like the ads, go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com. And for $1, you'll get an ad-free experience.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into James's recommendations. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bodie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So just in case people didn't know or aren't aware, James and I have been troubleshooting for the last, let's see here, 30 minutes, and hopefully this is the one that works. I'm hoping and praying. All right. So, James, I wanted to have you on the show because you have a couple of different unique experiences from most of the audiences. One is you live in Canada. Two is you drive a Kona. And three, you really like to customize your car. And we're going to talk about one specific thing that you do for your car, but you have some kind of tips for just the general EV owner out there. You don't have to be a Kona owner. So let's go ahead and start with your first tip.
So I believe we'll start with the wiper blades. Should we start with?
That's an exciting tip.
It's essentially, there's a new company called, I believe it's pronounced Schedge, S-C-H-E-D-G-E. It's an American company. Found them on Kickstarter. And if you dislike going to the store to find wiper blades, if you dislike having to wait for your wiper blades to no longer be functional, these guys actually have it's called a lifetime subscription. So there's two different choices for lifetime subscription. You can either get new wiper blade inserts. So instead of replacing the whole wiper blade, you just replace the rubber either every 6 months or a year. And when you switch vehicles, you just have to buy a new arm and they still give you lifetime rubber inserts.
Well, that's a really nice feature. So I can tell you from Arizona, we use our wipers maybe once or twice a year. And every single year I have to replace my blades. And this year I spent $70 because I got tired of replacing them with cheap blades because I'm constantly, like, it's just something we have to do. We have to replace batteries every year, pretty much. And we have to replace wiper blades every year. So that's a good pick. What's your second? Go ahead. Sorry.
And it also is, especially with you, it just dries out and cracks. And here it's mostly bugs that kill it off. But you don't have to think about it. If you don't need the wiper blade insert right away, you just kind of put it off to the side. Once you need it, then you put it on type deal.
That's a valid point.
Yeah. So, because my wiper blades were 2 years old by the time I finally replaced it. So moving on to the next one is going to be tux mats. I use tux mats. I found them actually through Tesla groups. So it's kind of like WeatherTech, but I find them, they're more of a, I guess, higher end deal because they actually lift up and wrap around kind of the backseat carpeted area. So, and it's a more of a plusher vinyl, I guess, but really nice for keeping all the dirt, grime, kind of contained. When a kid spills or whatever, it has nice little edging to keep the spill contained.
Yeah, that's nice. I put WeatherTech in the back of our van specifically because I had small children. And it was a ridiculous amount of money because it's a big piece for the back of the van. It was a ridiculous amount of money, but it's worth every single penny. One is it looks nice, it matches the carpet, it matches the interior. And then two is like, it's so easy to clean. It literally takes, 10 minutes and the whole thing looks new again.
Yeah. And yeah, it gives that nice little catch basin too, so you don't get the liquids coming out. For us here in Canada, it's great for the snow, containing all that snow. Yeah, definitely not a cheap product, though.
No, they're not, but they are worth it if you want to keep your car in good condition. I would add, if anybody's curious, like for our seats, we have two captain seats in the back of the van, and that's where my kids sit. And I bought these really nice, and they are off of Amazon. I can't remember. I remember to put a link in the show notes from the Amazon link. But they're basically seat covers for pets, though, not for children, not for adults. Like, these are specifically for pets. So if the pet has an accident, it's got like the moisture protection on it. These things are really heavy duty. They're almost made out of like a canvas feeling material. And then you just wash them. So I wash them like once every 2 months or whatever. And the seats underneath still look brand new and they fit the seat perfectly. So if you have children or pets, I would highly encourage that, because
I might have to do that with my son.
Yeah. Well, it's always amazing how much you find behind the car seat. Like, my kids are old enough where that's not so much of an issue, but like, you're just like, oh my gosh, when did they eat bacon in the car?
Well, see, mine also likes to, cause his car seat is in the middle. So he'll walk through the seat or on top of the seat in order to get to his seat now. So it's, especially in the rainy, muddy, snowy days, it's be nice to have a little bit of protection on the seat.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the more nerdier, like, those are fun picks, but this is the nerdy pick. And then you actually, I listened to the episode. If anybody doesn't know, James does a podcast called True North EVs, and he has an episode where he actually interviews the founder of this next product. And so James knows quite a lot about it. So go ahead and jump into that.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot. I'm not quite to the point that I actually understand all the screens, but it's called EV-OBD2. It's available for the Hyundai Kona EV and the Kia Niro EV, I believe 2020, 2019, and the Kia Soul EVs. He is working on getting it for other EVs. I'm not sure how much work it is. I'm sure it's a lot more, especially when it's kind of a side project of his. But I know I haven't experienced it yet, but I know most electric vehicles, their 12-volt battery is kind of the worst part. It's kind of the Achilles heel of the whole system. And this actually, one of the, I guess, functions of the many functions is actually it will tell you how your 12-volt battery is doing. But it also has, just trying to figure out here, has approximately 7 screens, which tells you everything from what your actual battery percentage is at, what the temperature of your battery is, what the temperature inside your vehicle actually is, whether you're regenning, and if you are regenning, how much you're regenning by the kilowatts, how much your power output is, single trip info, it tells you about your high voltage battery, what the actual percentage or what the actual voltage is at, what the battery temperature is, and it tells you actually what the state of health on that big battery is, which most people with the whole battery warranty deals that everybody seems to be so worried about. I believe the more normal number for the warranty is about 70% when your big battery hits 70%, then usually it can be warrantied and you get a new one, or you have a Hyundai Kona and it gets recalled. With it, it will actually say the state of health. So you could actually see, okay, I'm at 99%, 95%, whatever. Probably with the sole EVs, with the smaller batteries, it's going to be a lot more important. It has the 12-volt auxiliary battery. So it has the percentage, the actual voltage that it's putting out, and the amperage, whether it's taking in, taking out.
So this is for the Kia and the Hyundai Kona. Let's start with this. How do you install it? Start with the installation. How does it work?
So it depends if you have an OBD2 reader already, but he actually sells two different kits. One is with an OBD2 and one is without. So if you buy the kit with his OBD2, you basically, I guess.
Can you explain what that is?
I was going to say, for those that don't actually know what an OBD2 is, so it stands for onboard diagnostics. So anytime you take your vehicle into the service shop, it's going to be what the service shop plugs their computer into to actually get all the info. So what his kit comes with is something that plugs into that port. It's usually underneath the steering wheel of most vehicles. Some have it in other spots around the driver's area. Actually, some European ones have it on the passenger side. But it's easy enough to find out where it is. But for what he offers, it's all going to be on the driver's side underneath the steering wheel. But basically, you just plug it in. It is a Bluetooth deal, so no wires. Just plugs in, flashes a bunch of lights you can see, and it actually comes already paired with the little tiny screen. When I initially saw it, I thought that screen is going to be too small to actually read anything. But the screen, you could place it in the little cup holder right next to the by the instrument cluster or whatever, kind of wherever you want it. It has double-sided tape, and it comes connected with that OBD2 device already.
The screen looks like it's about the size of a business card.
I'd say it's about half the size of a business card.
Okay.
Yeah. It is surprisingly tiny. And that's why I thought when I initially pulled it out of the package, I'm like, that's going to be super small. But because he uses colors and like the white background, it actually is surprisingly super easy to read. Mine, I actually just put in a little cubby hole, I guess, next to the auxiliary jack and all that. The way my Kona is, in order to use Android Auto or Apple CarPlay, you got to be plugged in anyways. So where the plug-in is for that, right next to it, is the screen. So it's kind of out of the way, but not using up any space.
Yeah, he does use, you're right, if anybody's concerned, like I'm looking at on his website, cumulative energy, and then he has the kilowatt hours charged in green, the kilowatt hours discharged in red, and then the title of the screen in blue with yellow background. It actually does a really good job of differentiating what you're seeing, and it makes it easy to get an idea of what's going on. You don't get a ton of information, but you get a really good idea what's going on.
I go with you don't get a ton of information on one screen. Depending on what you would like, there is, what do we got? 9 screens altogether. So kind of what you would like is kind of whatever your main priority is, you can get the information you need there.
Yeah, that's a really valid point. So with that, what do you use this for? What's important?
So the main screen I always had it on was actually, just trying to find it. It's called the recent based GOM. So guessometer. So with the Kona, they always just have the range. You can't actually see your battery percentage. So I would actually use, that would be my main screen, is the recent based guessometer, because they actually, Hyundai goes with every 500 or a 500 kilometer trip. So however that works, it's going to be 500 kilometers. The last 500 kilometers, that's how we're going to figure out what your range is. So if you've been driving in the city and for the last 500 kilometers, and then you go on a trip on the highway, that's two very different driving styles, but it's still going to think you're in the city. So it'll give you a much higher range than you actually have. But even with the range issue, at least on this screen, you actually see what your battery percentage is at. So if it says you have, call it 300 kilometers, but you only have 60% battery, you know something's off.
Okay, so this gives you a more accurate detail of what your battery is actually doing right now. And then what is, and I've not driven a Kona, I've seen tons of videos, but what information do you get from Hyundai on your screen that's useful to you, and what information is this adding? Because the 500 kilometers thing and getting a better idea of what your battery percentage is actually at, I think is a great example.
What Hyundai gives you that's actually useful would be the range, I guess. They do have a little bar graph deal that I'm not sure how they come up, what the breakdown is per bar or whatever. Because I've had my vehicle as low as 10% and it hasn't hit the red. The last two bars are red. I don't know what percentage you have to be at to get to the red, but it's...
So this is your... It shows you as your battery goes down, a bar graph disappears and eventually you get to a red.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... So when I didn't have this, I would have to keep clicking on the infotainment screen, the actual battery info, which then it gives you a percentage on there. But you can't have the percentage on your main display.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's kind of an important part.
Well, you got, I guess they go with, if you're coming from a gas vehicle, you're used to seeing like a gas gauge or whatever, that's always just a guess.
Oh, I see.
And you, gas vehicles, I guess now it's more common, have a range. So I think it's more they're just trying to make it comfortable for the transition, where
I see
people that actually know a little bit about EVs want that extra info, or once you actually start using it, you actually want to see the percentage. Then you have to kind of go digging, where it'd be nice if they just showed you a percentage, because I know there was a month ago, I did go out. I had to take my wife out camping with her friends, but we're only allowed to charge up to 80% with driving there. The one place that has a high rapid charger, level 3 charger, I go through initially. So it was nice when I was there, using the EV OBD2 to say how much percentage I actually had, because I saw I was getting low, but it's nice to know, okay, I still have 20% left. I can make it to the campsite and then come back, charge there, and then make it home. Also, what I used it for is on the longer road trips, I can use, it does have a range on it, so if anybody looks at on the computer, it says 176 kilometers, right? But your Kona might say that you have 250 kilometers. So how I would work it was I would always take whatever number was the lowest, and that's what I would kind of use as my that's roughly how much range I have.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, did you have anything else to add, James, that maybe I forgot?
I don't think so. If you really want the peace of mind, and this is your first EV, or even if it's not, but if you want the geeky information, but for your first EV, I find this as a great device. Gives you that peace of mind in order to travel longer distances with it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, James. I appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
I don't know why I said have a day. That was dumb. So sorry.
You have a day too.
All right.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.